Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to our noontime show on May 8th, 2017. My name's Larry Jacobs. It's 3K12 Education Talk Radio. And there goes the music. I had clicked it a few minutes ago. It didn't connect that quickly. Welcome to the show. I got a great show for you right now. We've got Trent Allen, my good friend, who I first met the group over at TCEA, Facilitron, which manages school facilities, and it is incredible what they do. I've done a number of shows with the school officers who've been using their products at various districts, and it's just amazing. It's Facilitron.com, just like it sounds, if you want to check it out. And then a returning guest with Trent, okay? Trent has brought along our old friend Phil Lanoux, who is the former superintendent of the year for AASA down in Georgia in the Clark County School System, which is in Athens. And we're going to be talking about the work that Facilitron does, the work that Phil's doing, and how they work together to put together a really good white paper, okay, on managing the balance between school and community use of public schools. It's really an amazing topic and one that was long overlooked before I met the gang at Facilitron. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out, and we already have over at EduTalk Radio. Please follow us over there. We'd appreciate it. You can friend us on Facebook over at EduTalk Radio as well. Our new magazine, ACNE is what we call it, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity in Education. The website is up now, and it's just going to keep getting better and better and better. The first issue of the magazine comes out June 4th. Free subscription. It's really easy to subscribe. We're never going to share your information. ace-ed.org. I hope you take advantage of that. We got some great stuff coming your way about the hottest topics in education. I might say accessibility, compliance, and equity. Okay, without further ado, let me bring on the two and only Trent and Phil. I'll start with Trent. Hi, Trent.
How you doing, Larry?
I'm good, buddy. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Believe me, I love every show I've done. I remember the one with Diana and then the gentleman over near Oakland. They've just been fascinating shows, and I can't wait to hear what the amazing Phil Lanoux has to say. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Larry. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
I'm fine. It's good to hear you as well. And, Phil, I have to ask you something. Okay, we did our show a couple of years ago, okay, when you were on. Yeah, and tell me, because Phil used to live in New England, and it was one of the funniest things that I thought ever happened on here. Phil, weren't you the one who asked me, because the minute I told you I live in Maine, you said to me, what color is your Subaru?
That's correct.
Wasn't that you?
or how with it, or maybe how long have you had it?
Yeah, exactly. How long have you had the Subaru? We had just bought one then, and it's 3 years now. It's a Blue Forester, just in case you want to know. But I remembered that. It just cracked me up. Everybody in Maine, everybody. Subaru somehow is the state car of Maine, and you just have to drive a Subaru if you live here. It's amazing. Phil, let me just say, Phil, how you doing? Everything good?
I'm doing well, and as you know, I'm no longer stepped back from the superintendency. So now I run a consulting group, and been able to connect with those like Trent. Good morning, Trent. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
So I've been doing some very fascinating work, ranging from really trying to connect the work of what the industry does. And certainly in the last couple of years, I've been very intrigued and very immersed in the fact is that we in schools need to partner with the business sector and the developmental sector and the tech field, especially if we're going to begin to do the work we need to do.
And the work we need to do is amazing and never ending, but we're going to make it happen. And guys like you, again, a former superintendent and former AASA superintendent of the year. I don't know if I stole your thunder, Trent. You want to give the formal introduction to Dr. Lanoux?
Well, okay. Phil's known, of course, as the National Superintendent of the Year, but he was known to me first as the superintendent of my home district in Clark County. I'm actually in Clark County in Athens.
I didn't know
in
that.
Athens, Georgia. Phil and I sort of met through social media suggesting that we be friends, but, he came here and took a struggling district and turned it around by reaching out to the community, reaching out to the University of Georgia, which is here in Athens, and you know, pioneering new programs with using ed tech, like he's saying. He's an ed tech guy. He's an innovator in education. So obviously it was natural for us to reach out to him to help us produce this paper about districts managing their facility use and the challenges that come with that, both on the operational side, you know, and the community relations side. And he's certainly an expert in the community relations side. So it turned out terrific. I refer to it all the time, and I hope he can talk about it some here today.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He will. Phil, have you picked up that Southern accent now that you were Georgian for a while?
You know, I got just enough. So I can balance both worlds.
What Southern accent?
At least I lost the Boston accent anyway. I'm not going to have it. But,
right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you could sell the snow shovel at the yard sale when you moved.
Yeah, you know what? It's already gone.
Yeah,
I held on to it for 10 years. It's gone.
I know.
But
I know.
Going back to our work with Facilitron and Facilitron and Trent, you know, one of the things that attract me to those that think differently is that we have to seek new solutions. And when we talk about facilities, that usually goes like at the bottom of the rung. We talk about instruction, we talk about practice, we talk about leadership, and all those things are really critical. But I've always taken the position that when our kids walk into a building, they need to be wowed. And I really learned that the environment over time is often like a catalyst or an enzyme. It's going to make all of the other work happen. So I think as school leaders, while it may seem pretty dry on one hand to say, oh, I'm going to look at facilities, and they may call you a nuts and bolts kind of guy, I think we have to equate facilities with environments. And so that's why I'm talking
an environment with learning. An environment with
environment.
Learning, I might add.
That's correct. Yeah. The environment, like I said, if you have the right environment, it's really like a catalyst. It's the enzyme. Here's my biology coming out, but it really makes those interactions take off. And I really believe that Facilitron has taken a whole new look at how schools can begin to get the data, the information that they need, because good tech tools, new tools, will provide us with good data. And they saw a solution where you didn't have to just buy everything up front and see if it worked. And so they partnered in a very, very different way. And maybe, Trent, certainly you could explain that. But I thought it was very exciting work. And I encourage school districts to take a look at this particular solution. If one
– Great solution.
The solution really does a lot of things. The solution, number one, it pays attention to one of your largest assets. People put – not millions, but billions of dollars in the facilities. And if you didn't know this, that 1/6 of our country's population enter a school every day. So that's how important it is. And so this particular solution allows you to monitor usage. It looks at how you can broker the use of your facility with your community, how you can do it safely, how you can do it equitably, and they bring to the table expertise from around the country, so it's not like you're going at it alone with a very narrow lens.
Right. And just real quick, Trent, tell people, Phil kind of just touched on it, but just give them a little brief history of Facilitron or however you want to do that so people understand what we're talking about. Trent, who's the chief marketing officer over there.
Sure. We've been around about 4 years, but we started a reservation scheduling and reservations platform, and it was initially intended to be a way for schools to streamline the way that they manage community requests. But then, then when we piloted the program with some of our first schools, they came back to say, "Hey, you know, this is great, but can you help us with our own scheduling and usage of our own facility?" So what we realized very quickly after we put together, we like to say we over-engineered the product, but what we put together was something pretty special that allowed districts to track utilization data and things that we just we sort of had an idea, but now that we've been around 3 years, we've had schools on our platform, we're beginning to see the case studies of the schools that are making decisions. Before you can be data-driven, you need to be data-aware. So the schools, the very first thing is the schools get on the platform, and they have to start tracking every way they're using their facilities, marry that up with their operational costs and their budgets, and we can now give sort of an operational dashboard to the schools in real time. Another thing that we've been doing lately is likening it to your map app, your Google Maps. Everybody sort of uses that. What you put in a little information, and it starts tracking and giving you real time data on what's coming up. Well, letting you know how many minutes this traffic jam is going to be. Hey, there's a police officer over here. We need to reroute you. That's what we're trying to do, in essence, to use a strange analogy, for school districts, trying to give them this operational dashboard for real-time analysis of what's going on so that they can make changes and then measure the effectiveness of those changes. So that was a little long-winded, but there you go.
No, it was just fine, as a matter of fact. It was excellent because I want people to really understand this. Okay, it was great. Phil, you were a superintendent. You were superintendent of the year. You've been superintendent at a number of districts, I believe, okay, up here and then down in Georgia.
Right.
All right. And but you were trained, because I know, what are you? You were 106 years old. Am I correct? Is that right? I read that somewhere on your LinkedIn. Yeah. Okay. You were trained. You were trained as a superintendent. Before anything, and a Facilitron's 4 years old, but you were trained as superintendent in a different time, if I may. And even if you were trained 5 years ago, it would probably be a different time. And I'm curious, when you were learning to be a superintendent, when you were one, okay, did you learn it? And not that when you were one, but in school, did you learn? Did they touch on facilities management at all? Are they doing it today that you know of?
Probably not, to be honest, because I think the term facilities management is kind of an interesting term, because it could take on an old connotation or a new one. Do you know what I mean? And so how I sort of look at it is that facilities are one of your greatest assets, and how do you leverage your assets? So I think if you look at it that way, it's much larger than just how am I going to manage and fix my facilities. But how, in fact, are my buildings, which is one of my largest investments, what is that as an asset to me, one, in the learning process, in the school, to maintain them from a managerial piece, but also how to leverage them with your community? In other words, many community managers want to know is, like, why can't we use the school buildings? And then comes all the liability issues. Well, I think what Facilitron has done is they put together some processes and provide data that allows you to go through that. Short answer is I never was prepared. I think to manage the facilities other than probably to order light bulbs. Maybe that's what I probably remember back in 1984. I can remember that. And here, I kid you not, or buy toilet paper in bulk. I got it. I'm on it. So
I'm on it. It's a custodian.
I don't think there is. But that's why we have to go into looking at those who have a level of expertise like Facilitron or other tech businesses who can begin to think differently than probably I would. So that's why it's so important. Answer is no, and that's why we need business partnerships.
Exactly, and that's why this white paper you guys put out, which we'll talk about in 1 second, is so darn important, because what you said is accurate. The environment of the school and the proper management plus community engagement, that's so key these days. Okay, equals a better learning situation and much more respect and understanding of how the schools are part and parcel of the community, even if you don't have a kid in them. Okay, that's an important factor. Everybody's using the schools, and it's real important that they be managed, that these facilities be managed properly. I can't say enough about this. Trent, can you introduce?
Correct.
Yeah, thank you. Can you introduce the white paper? You and Phil, well, Facilitron and Phil, work together. It's called How Can Public Schools Better Manage the Balance Between School and Community Use, which is a great title. Okay, tell people where they can see it or how it's going to be published or et cetera, and just give them the basics. I'm going to ask Trent to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. We published the paper on our website now. It's under a section called Expert Analysis. and the paper's there in full.
Who laughed when I said that?
I laughed.
Okay.
That was you,
okay.
Larry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
He's an expert.
He is.
And so... And so we can email you that. We can do anything you want. But it's of course, we have them printed out, and we distribute them when we're visiting trade shows. But, yes, you know, what we were trying to do was write an internal paper that sort of gave the school's perspective. And so I initially reached out to Phil just for some advice. I sent him my introduction paragraph, and he was like, wait a minute. You know, don't say it like that. You'll offend some schools, and you got to be careful. But another thing that I want to say that Phil brought was the sort of that perspective, like he mentioned, a sixth of the school of the population of the United States are in a school building every weekday, and so bringing those kinds of insights, how important facilities are, how they are they send a message to the community about your education process, and so. He was particularly good there, and he also, his insight, I think, on the other subtleties that are hard for us to bring up as a company, liabilities, transparency.
Yeah.
You know, you come in wagging your finger that you need to be transparent with the community, and you need to be careful because you're liable for this, and you may have all this going on. It's not the right approach, and Phil knew how to put that succinctly and perfectly in our paper. So there you go.
It's wonderful. Okay. Phil, you mentioned something a few minutes ago, which actually you surprised me when you said it. You said, quote, if you manage, I'm paraphrasing actually, if you manage your facilities right, they become more equitable. Okay, and equity is that big term these days. When you said that, what were you referring to in particular? That's an interesting comment.
Well, I think, you know, especially now with the conversations, you've got to have a framework in order to ensure that in some ways you don't allow some groups and you allow others. You talk about pay structures. I mean, there's certainly a number of court cases that evolve around, you know, who pays and who doesn't pay. And so some of the historical events really no longer it can exist because some groups don't pay while others pay. So you have to kind of meander through that. And
mm-hmm.
and if you're in a public building, you have to ensure that you aren't discriminatory
mm-hmm.
around certain groups. And that's where I think expertise around the country and having the right policies and procedures, you know, not only do they create safeguards, but they create a good framework of how to make decisions when you get calls that we want to use your facility, because we have to ensure that our facilities are open to everyone in our community and that we don't make decisions that single some out versus others. That's what I mean by equity. We have to ensure that community access is community access.
Literally and literally equitable. It was really an interesting comment. It's more on my mind these days. Of course, we're publishing the new magazine, but I just thought that was really, really interesting when
yeah.
you said that. Okay,
right.
Trent, as you looked at the white paper, and you've been in this business for a while, like I said, you're marketing to schools, et cetera, okay, and school districts, obviously. All right, what was the one thing that really stood out to you in the white paper?
Well,
hey, to put you on the
yes,
spot.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well. Well, you know, like I said sort of before, you know, measuring, I mean, some of the things he said, for example, were measuring the effectiveness of policies. School districts have policies on, for example, how they let the public use their facilities, how much they charge. But the truth is, there's a lot of history and I want to say
mm-hmm.
side deals. I mean, you know, there are... There
sure.
hasn't been much oversight. The districts have had trouble overseeing all of the activities that are going on. And so, not surprisingly, district policy is often, you know, sort of you know, it's there, but then there are all these groups that have this or that
grandfathered
privilege,
in.
Which
yeah,
they're grandfathered in, or they're, you know, they're not really a commercial group, or they're, you know, the Cub Scouts. I mean, there are a lot of these that are quite legitimate uses where the school wants to help the organizations. And so I think again, Phil's perspective and sort of the subtlety of the of bringing up that what can be a touchy subject was, you know, done with expertise, and that's why we got him.
Well, when you have the data, you can see it. And I'll tell you, wait, let me just say, you know, 20 years ago, a Cub Scout Pack 438, okay, signed to use the schools and pay $35 every time they used it, okay? But Cub Scout Pack 677, as the area expands, okay, that's a new contract, so to speak, okay, and that's going to be $135 to use it. All right, and when you got to see that on paper and go, wait a minute, we're charging Cub Scout Pack A for and Cub Scout B differently, and that's not really fair. And but you have to, it's easy to file the old contract away and just say yes, renew it, but you have to have the information in front of you, okay,
right,
in order to do
and,
that.
And I would even
yeah, go ahead.
I would even put forward something as we move forward that's going to be interesting, and that's why I think having these processes and conversations are important, and that is as we move outside of our school building and walls, as learning takes place 24/7, you know,
mm-hmm.
schools are going to begin to be positioned to figure out how they develop partnerships with organizations that support kids in their learning, so it doesn't end at 3 o'clock outside the building. So this whole building use piece, I think it's going to move even to another level. And why Facilitron was really important is it provides framework, but as Trent said, you now begin to give you data to make decisions if, in fact, your policies or procedures are doing what you want it to do. Not to hold back, but possibly even to innovate and promote. That's a very different look, for sure.
Right. It's astounding what's going on out there and how these things are changing, and community engagement is so important, especially in day tight finances. You want to make sure everybody understands you the Cub Scout Pack uses the building. Well, at night the lights are on and the heat is still up if you do that. That's great. But there's a cost to that. You got to have the data. You got to know what it costs, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, I'm not picking on the Cub Scouts. I was a Cub Scout.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think what it also allows you to do with your facilities is say there are places that it's appropriate for us to make sure that our kids are in our buildings, in our community, because, in fact, that aligns with the mission, vision of what we want for our children. It helps them grow and develop. So it decompartmentizes what used to be in school, out of school, into is we're doing some joint ventures here with kids, and our youth organizations are really important.
They really are indeed. I got to ask you, Phil, your new company's PDL Consultants, PDLconsultants.com. And I'm curious, you know, you've left the superintendency, you have your bag of knowledge with you, okay? What kind of work are you doing?
My greatest guess would be is that with Dr. Sally Zepeda, we just completed a book. And it's the emerging work of today's superintendent, leading schools and communities to educate all children. So that now is on pre-sale. It is Robin and Littlefield. We have a contract with them. And I'm really pleased that it's also co-published and sponsored by AASA, the National Superintendents Association.
Why not? Great group.
So that is pre-ordered, should be out on shelves in June. But we're really pleased that this is not a how-to book. This is really a thought book. It presents what we think are new questions that have to be asked in the future to expand the work of superintendents as their work emerges, not only within their districts and their schools. So, you know, that's I would say that's probably on my bucket list. That's something I never thought I would do, but really proud of the work we did with Dr. Zepeda to get it out. So that's taken a bulk of the time over the last year.
What fun! So you said Rowan and Littlefield.
Rowan and Littlefield,
and it's available.
Yeah, Rowan
and it's available through AASA.
Actually, it's available on the Rowan and Littlefield website. It's
co-published.
I think it will be out on AASA, and it's called "The Emerging Work of Today's Superintendent: Leading Schools and Communities to Educate All Children."
Great. Let me do this. When is the book coming out?
It should be out in the middle of June.
Okay. Well, when it comes out, okay, and Trent, I'm going to ask you to remind me, too. Actually, we can do this today if you want. I would love to have you and Sally come on the show and talk about that.
That'd be great.
The book. Okay. So
I'd love to.
All right.
That'd be super.
So, yeah. And now that the book is written, what's PDL? What, by the way, what's PDL? Oh, Phil, I just got it. Phil, obviously.
You
Phil
got it. Phil Dennis Lanier.
Thank you. Okay.
John Larry, you got it.
Professional development and learning. That goes too.
There are a lot of things, you know. But we'll just call it PDL.
Pigs, dogs, and llamas. There's another one. But I like Philip D. Leneux. Yeah.
Right. But I also write a national thought leaders blog every month for K-12 for Trust Ed, so you can see that. And that is designed really to push the transformation of our schools, that we need to move off from making fringe changes to systemic changes to prepare kids for a world in which they will live, Larry, and not our world. And I think we're doing too much of educating kids in our world. So
we've been talking about that for a long time. Okay, and we have to really, really, really make these changes. Okay, you are so right. And I know a lot of school districts do that. Okay, but even if you've done it, it's time to redo it because everything's changed already. Okay.
Well, the point here in the statement that, and when Trent, you're still there, is why we need new tools. Is we have to make mid-course changes. This whole piece that let me study for 5 years, you can't study something for 5 years. You have to move and be intuitive and be prepared to change in a very, very flexible world. And that hasn't been the mantra of schools, but it has to be. It has to be. It has to change.
It really does. Trent, any comments on any of that? Did he show you?
No,
let me ask you the easy one, Trent. Did he show you the book? Have you read his book?
No, I haven't gotten that one yet.
Well,
yeah,
when it comes out on paper, get an autographed copy. And, Phil, I'm going to remind you in an email to send me one when it comes out so I know what I'm talking about when the show comes on. But I would love to do a show with you and Sally.
Got it.
Okay.
You guys can sponsor it, Trent.
You guys can sponsor it.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good. We'll do it.
It's really good stuff. And let me ask you this. This is an important question. Trent, you have kids in the school district down there in Clark County, right?
No, I actually don't.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I forgot to have children. My wife and I. No.
Nothing wrong with that. Believe me, nothing wrong with that. Yep. Okay. The reason I was asking the question, let me just ask it anyway. And, Phil, how long were you down there?
I was in Clark County for 7.5 years.
Fantastic.
Left in mind.
Fantastic. That's a long time, and you worked hard. I remember the shows. And you have a great legacy. You were National Superintendent of the Year and all that. And, well, Trent, I'm just going to curiously ask you as a resident. You had a wonderful superintendent in Phil. I don't know who's there now. Okay? Just anecdotally, after Phil's left, et cetera, what are you hearing about the schools down there as a community member?
Well, I haven't heard as much. Phil got a lot of press and is quieting down quite a bit after that. But I think the new guy is doing a good job. He's carrying on the torch that Phil started, and hopefully things will continue doing well. I know the district here, we have an affluent area outside where people were going and taking their children, and I know that tide has been stemmed, and people are no longer avoiding having their kids in the Clark County School District.
Well, that is saying something. Who's the superintendent now?
I forget his name.
Dr. Means. Dr. Devon. Say,
Dr. Say it again, Phil. I'm sorry.
Dr. Means. Dr. Means.
M-E-A-N-S.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And it's really interesting. He stepped into great, great, great shoes to follow, and you left a great legacy there. You said something interesting when Phil was there. There was a lot of great press and all that. And I always say to people, school districts have to keep the community out there. Okay, school districts have to keep the community engaged by getting themselves out there all the time. Facilities is one thing about it. Okay, but that external communication. So folks like Trent, who don't have kids in this school, know exactly what's going on. You're paying great taxes. Your housing values go up. You know your neighbor's kids, et cetera. All right? You want great things to happen, and the schools are doing it. And that external communication beyond just the school community, okay, is so darn important. You would agree, Dr. Lanou?
I would agree. I mean, and certainly starting to write a lot about the whole piece about branding and not just about the messages, but it creates the two-way conversations, because it really is about building trust. And when you have a level of trust, you're able to move with the system. And absolutely, communication, two-way communication is really critical. And it's tough for superintendents to balance, because not all the way to any communication is going to move you in the direction of the system. So that's why the superintendency are real pivotal in this whole process. They make it work.
They make it work. And, Phil, we're going to wind down in a minute, but I wanted to ask you one other question, okay? And talk about this from your – not that you used it because you weren't there then, okay? But when you have something like Facilitron, any given superintendent, all right, they have to submit their budgets to the school board, obviously, which is the voice of the people,
right?
Okay, and the power of the purse. Talk about, if you can, the value of having that facilities data in front of you. Okay, as a superintendent would go to for the school board for the budget. It's not just anecdotal. If you have Facilitron, it's there. You can really look at it. And it, how important is that in the scheme of things to the school board?
I think it's really essential. Because if you look on your budgets and facilities and the people power you put in it, it's really quite substantial, even though you might find it in different pockets. And if I can compare myself when I was in Massachusetts and I was a building principal, I mean, Massachusetts has some of the worst facilities in the country because
older.
They were unable
older.
To – pardon?
They're older. Yeah.
They're much older.
Yeah.
And I think in lean times, it was very difficult to put money into repairing systems. You repaired things, but you didn't do systems renewal. What I've learned through there and then through this process, that having the right information allows you to put together resources that you need to keep your facilities going. Otherwise, they just sort of deteriorate, and then all of a sudden you're in this huge crisis and you don't know what to do. And in the meantime, there's a group of kids that are going to suffer for a number of years until the adults figure that out.
That's right.
So
great point.
What I've learned through this, that's why it's so important to have the data with school boards, is that you can keep a really steady trajectory on making sure that not only do you have pretty, I'll say, facilities, but you have healthy facilities. And I think that's another piece that's really important that we have to bring to the table, is that we have air quality. We have a number of things that are really important for our children to learn. And so the health of our children now becomes central in this conversation, and data allows you to bring that in, and that's what Facilitron does.
Excellent answer, by the way. Thank you so much. Gentlemen, we got to go. Phil, I'm going to send you an email, invite you on the show. Okay, with Sally.
Cool.
And you'll say yes. You're gonna be on again in another month there, Trent. We're gonna talk some more about all this. I love this topic. Okay, because it has been completely overlooked by me and pretty much everyone else. Okay. But in this age it's more important than ever, budget wise, community wise, et cetera, et cetera. Trent, keep up the good work, buddy.
All righty. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, and by the way, Trent, you might want to change it. Yeah, and Trent, you might want to change it instead of facilities. You might want to change it to facilities. What do you think?
Yeah, right. Yeah, why don't you do that, Trent?
Well, right.
We got Subaru going, will you?
Right. Anyway, guys, Phil, I'll send you an email today before the day's done. And Trent, we're all set. Thank you, guys. This was absolutely wonderful. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
I will. You too, guys. All right. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. I'm so interested that equity piece came up again. Was not expecting that. It's just amazing. It's just out there. ace-ed.org. What can I tell you? Sign up for a free subscription and check out the website. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. We'll get Phil back on once the book is out there for everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out Facilitron.com. Okay, this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.